KTCK Dallas Fort Worth, KTBK Sherman Denison, KTDK Sanger. Wake up with eggs, toast, and hot sports opinions baked fresh daily. Dunham and Miller, tomorrow morning at 5:30 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
It is 4:58. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We are out today at Dillard's in North Park Mall. Coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to have fun with real audio. In this segment, though, we are supposed to talk to the former Cowboy great, Tony Dorsett.
Well, he's late.
Is that him coming this way right now? Yes, I believe it is.
In his sunglasses?
Yeah.
On his cell phone?
Right. I think that would be him.
There you go.
We will do that momentarily here and visit with one of the Cowboy greats of this or any other time.
Russ, would you like an update from Anaheim?
I would.
The Rangers have knocked Bartolo Colon out after five innings.
Really?
That's either the good news or the bad news, but they bring Ben Weber in, and he got out of the sixth inning on six pitches.
Mm. And what is our score?
7-3.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Chano gave up another. He gave up another home run.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
7-3.
Well, joining us now, Grego, is one of the Cowboy greats of all time, one of the NFL greats of all time, a guy who has done something in the National Football League that will never be done again, and he is out here today for Dillard's and Perry Ellis. He is Tony Dorsett.
Sports Illustrated, all of the above.
Sports Illustrated, too. Might as well spiff them, right?
Spiff them, too.
How are you, man?
And The Ticket.
And The Ticket.
Yeah, we got it all.
How are you, man?
Hi, Ross. I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing real good. Good to see you. Now, Grego is he's down with back troubles today, so you'll hear him, but you won't see him. But
What happened?
He's just got a little back issue that he's got to work through here.
He's not a little overweight or anything, is he?
No. Grego's lost about 70 pounds, man.
Is that right?
That's right.
Grego's what diet was he on?
I believe the South Bedford diet.
Yeah, the South Bedford diet.
South Bedford diet, huh?
Well, how about you, man? How you doing?
I am great, man. I couldn't be any better. God is good. Life is good. I'm a blessed man.
You know, the NFL draft is coming up this weekend, and I'm sure you probably have a few memories of 1976, I guess it was, or 77 maybe. That's
77.
Yeah. When you were draft eligible and how that all went down. What do you recall about that time?
Well, a lot of anxiety. You know, at that time, we had the two expansion teams coming in, Seattle and Tampa Bay.
Right.
And Seattle had my rights, and I was hoping and praying that I would not end up in Seattle. I always thought it would be a little more healthier for me as a running back to play with a more established offensive line than an expansion line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the funny thing about it is about a week or so before the draft, Gil Brandt was making his rounds around the college campuses, and he was in Pittsburgh, and I was just ranting and raving. I was, you know, I don't want to go to Seattle and this, that, and the other. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, you may be surprised. There might be some good team may end up with you. And I'm like, yeah, how's that going to come about? But they pulled one off. Cowboys.
Did you know about that ahead of time, or did it just kind of explode on you?
I had no idea.
No idea?
No idea whatsoever, man. It took me by surprise.
You know, that's got to be one of the biggest steals of all time, Tony. I mean, and because basically the Cowboys, they didn't give up a lot for that second pick. I mean, they gave up Bill Gregory, he was a defensive lineman at the time, and a couple others, and their first-round pick to get a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, actually, they gave up, well, I don't want to say it like this, but there's a bunch of no-names, I mean, besides Bill Gregory. I mean, and you look at it, the guys that they gave up, their careers, I think, ended shortly after that, and so it kind of put a bad blemish, I think, on the Cowboys from that standpoint, as far as teams wanting to will and deal with them for a few years. They just figured that, you know, they were tricked.
Right. And they're going to get wheedled out of something.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that you were going to go number one to Tampa Bay?
No, I didn't. And the reason being, Greg, is, you know, coming out, the top two guys in that draft was Ricky Bell and myself. And John McKay, who was coach Ricky a few years while he was at SC. And, you know, the thing was he went to Tampa Bay to be their head coach, and Ricky Bell was, quote-unquote, the prototype type of a running back, you know, 6'2", 230 pounds, and here I am at 5'11", 183 pounds. So, no, I didn't expect to be the first pick. Everybody pretty much knew. That Ricky Bell would go down to Tampa Bay.
You just didn't want to go to Seattle.
I didn't want to go to Seattle. And as the story goes, you know, I don't know what happened today with Archie Manning and something. I guess he made some type of statement. But part of the psychology of negotiations was, you know, you try to discourage or whatever. But we were trying, all up through the draft, I was trying to leak out little things to discourage Seattle from drafting me, because I was always saying that if they drafted me, I would go north of the border, which in reality, I had no plans to go up to Canada to play in the Canadian League. I was just trying to discourage them a little bit and just and hope and pray that you know, things could work out like the way they did.
You know, back then, you guys didn't have a whole lot of option, did you?
No.
I mean, really, they don't today, but I would think back then you had even less, maybe.
Well, you know, if it was like it was, like it is today, back then, I think I would have went and just went straight to Fort Knox. You know, I'd been the number one pick and went to Seattle and been happy as could be, probably.
Tony Dorsett, the former Cowboy great here with us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Now, as it happens, you know, the Cowboys have a pick in the first round coming up this Saturday, and they are in need of a running back once again. Have you been checking out these guys they're looking at? Steven Jackson, Chris Perry, guys like that. What are your thoughts on those players? You know anything about them?
Yeah, they're exceptional runners. Kevin Jones out of Virginia Tech, and
right.
Chris Perry.
I guess Greg Jones, throw him in there,
Greg
too.
Greg Jones, these are all backs that are very capable of coming into the National Football League and making some things happen for you. But, you know, there's no question about it that it's pretty obvious that they need some improvement. I mean, Hambrick, I don't know if he's going to just live up to his potential. I mean, he has the big P. I mean, he's big, he's fast, he's strong, but he didn't get the job done. You know, he talked a lot of noise, you know, when the enemy was here, and when the opportunity was just put there right in front of him, you know, he didn't arise to meet the challenge. But they do have some young backs in this draft that can have some pretty good prolific numbers. They can put up the good numbers and can be very helpful for this franchise here.
You know, you talked a minute ago about not wanting to go to an expansion team and play in front of an expansion offensive line. When you got here, the Cowboys had a very established and very good offensive line. And I got to think that, you know, when you found out that you were coming here and going to play behind those guys, that was just a bomb.
It was. I was tickled pink, man. Let me tell you, because it was somewhat like hand in glove. I mean, it was supposedly I was the final piece to the puzzle. We had a great quarterback in Starbuck. We had great receivers here. We had great tight end. That exceptional offensive line. We had the doomsday defense.
Yes.
I mean, we were pretty much solid. And you know, I was, you know, for me to come in here and to see all these great players and to be a part of this, you know, was something that I never dreamed could become a reality. You know, I always thought that I would probably end up at some franchise with some franchise that was, you know, a mediocre franchise, not one of your more upper echelon elite franchises in sports today. And for me to end up like that, man, like I said earlier to you, before we got on air, I'm a blessed man. I was very blessed.
Tony Dorsett here with us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. He will be out here at Dillard's today for Perry Ellis. Now, you know, every time people talk about you, they talk about the 99-yard run.
Yeah.
And that's something that will never be done or never be bettered. Let's put it that way. I guess somebody might run 99 yards again, but...
Can't break it.
But not... Yeah, they can tie it, but they can't break it.
Can't break it.
Now, it's well known that the Cowboys had 10 guys...
Yeah.
On the field that time. Were you aware of that as that play was unfolding?
Actually, I was not. I was not. And I was part of the reason why we did have 10 men on the field. I told Ron Springs to get out. You know, we ran that play, the dive 31. We could run it from either I formation or from our single back formation. I thought I heard the single back formation being called on the sideline. So Ron goes to the sideline, and they're telling him to get back on the field. He was like, there's no way I'm running out on that field. We're on the 1-inch yard line. He said, you know, Coach Landry had some intimidating, it was a little intimidating to see Coach Landry there. If you're running out on the football field, we're on the 1-inch yard line and we get a penalty when you know you can run a play with 10 men on the field. It's okay. You can do that. So Ron said there was no way on God's earth he was going to run out there on the field and get a penalty for us at that time. And I always tease him. I said, Ron, you know, if it was you, It would have never happened.
All right, so you line up at the backfield on that play. And what was the idea of that play? I guess just to get a little room, right?
Well, you know, when you're backed up like that, defenses know what you're pretty much going to do. You know, you can't pretty much operate your offense. You're trying to get some breathing room. And as a running back, when they called the play, actually, I was kind of, if I had known he wasn't in there, that it was an I formation, I would have made sure that, you know, he was in there to do this, because when you're backed up like that, you know, the only thing I was thinking about was tighten up my chin strap just a little tighter. I said, because they know exactly what we're going to do, and they're going to be sitting right there in that hole just waiting for me, just waiting, just licking their chops. And but fortunately for me, I got two great blocks from Tom Rafferty and Herb Scott. And I jumped through that hole, man, and made a couple people miss, and then it was off to the races. And fortunately for me, number 88 was down there, you know, trying to get in the way. And Drews, if you ever look at some of my long runs throughout my career here, number 88 is around a lot.
He's
a
player
in a lot of those runs.
Right.
And it's not so much that you got to make a big devastating, a crushing blow, a block. He was just getting in the way, and that helped me go the distance.
Tony, at any point during that run, did it run through your mind that if I can just get to the end zone, I'm going to run 99 yards on one play?
Not at all, Greg. As a matter of fact, about midway, when I crossed the 50-yard line, I started, you know, I was getting a little tired myself, you know. And I was like saying, well, you know, if one of these guys, there was two defenders there, I forget their names, but I just said, if one of these guys pushed me pretty good, I'm going out of bounds. I got some breathing room. We got some breathing room to run our offense now. So, but actually, he did push me, but obviously he must have been more tired than what I was at that time, because he didn't push me hard enough to push me out of bounds. And so, you know, when I got to the sideline, of course, you know, if you want any trivia, or if you want to know anything about the National Football League, Gil Brandt knows it all. He came over to me, and I'm trying to get some oxygen, just trying to sit on the bench and just regroup. And he's telling me that I think that's an NFL record. I think you just said an NFL record. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not worried about records. All I want is some oxygen.
All right, man. Good to see you out here. We got a whole lot of people waiting to get to do the autograph thing, so we'll let you get to that, man.
You know, it's amazing, man. What there was a few years, make. You know, there was this lady upstairs, you know, passing out these flyers with my picture on it, and she gave me one. I said, well, what do you think? Where's he gonna be? She said, oh, you got to go up the steps there and go down to Dillard's and go downstairs, and he'll be downstairs then. I said, thank you.
Hey, man, good to see you. Thanks, Tony.
Likewise.
Tony Dorsett out here at Dillard's today, joining us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. All right, coming up next, fun with real audio here on The Ticket.